Okay, here we are again, 25 October 2021 at Fritzbergen, bloodandfaith.com. Got some new material up at bloodandfaith.com. One is I thought I'd share with everybody something I wrote for my religious accommodation exemption for the COVID vaccine. I have not been vaccinated. I have no intention of getting vaccinated. My employer has very graciously allowed me to make an appeal, a religious accommodation. They provided a form for me to fill out and to make my case. And I've shared portions of that with you at bloodandfaith.com. It comes down to a couple things. Number one, there are numerous examples in the Bible of men of God, godly men, who refused to comply with illegal and illicit orders, even if the government itself was legitimate. So Daniel had no issue with the legitimacy of Darius's government, yet in the specific of whether or not he could make a petition to his God, he refused to comply. And the other specific of that accommodation request was that I don't even know what I'm submitting to. I don't know what I'm submitting to. You say you got to get the vax. It doesn't vaccinate against anybody. It doesn't provide any protection from the vaccine. B, I don't know what's in it. C, it's constantly changing. D, this is not a one-time vaccine. I may be opening the door to vaccines for the rest of my life, the contents of which I have no knowledge. I don't think the government even knows what's going to be in the vaccines a year from now or 2 years from now or 4 years from now. So I will not be getting the vaccine. I provided a template. If you want to use it, you're free to. But it gives you my objections to the vaccine. Number two, I put up something briefly this morning on abortion. Abortion is a religious ceremony. Whether the participants think it is or not, it mimics, and in fact, it is the exact same religious ceremony for the worship of Moloch that's gone on for 4,000 years. You take the innocent firstborn child and you make him into a living sacrifice to Satan himself. This is a religious ritual that we share with China. The United States, there's been over 70 million legal abortions, so-called legal abortions, since Roe versus Wade in 1972. In China, it's in excess of 300 million. Now, when you take the firstborn child, the innocent child, and you make him into a human sacrifice to Satan, that creates an enormous stronghold over the country. You're sacrificing an innocent child, the firstborn, to Satan, and that gives him a great power and strength over that nation, great power and strength over China, great power and strength over the United States. There is no creating a Christian nation as long as this religious rite is enshrined as law in the United States, as long as it is enshrined as a protected privilege, as a protected right in the United States or New Zealand or Australia or Canada or Europe or anywhere. It's the worship of Satan with the firstborn children of the nation. Let that sink in. This is not a mere woman's choice. This is sacrificing innocent children, the firstborn, to Satan. And often the young woman already sacrificed herself in another manner, in a manner that is not conducive to her own protection and her own goodness in life and the future of her marriage and her children. So it has to be addressed. I go back to Gideon. When the Lord went to Gideon and he says, "Hey, you know you're the mighty warrior. First thing you're going to do though, it's not to fight the ites. Your first task is not to fight the Midianites. It's to tear down the strongholds within your own community, within your own nation. And that stronghold there, they had an altar to Baal, an altar to the devil, and they had the Ashtoreth there. These are altars and religious rites to satanic forces. Before he could do anything, he had to tear those down. And I think that's going to be the same in the United States as well. we're going to have to tear those down. As long as that's there, there's a stronghold over this nation that is mighty. And just as Gideon had to deal with his own house first before he could drive off the Midianites, so we have to deal with this the sacrifice of our firstborn unto Satan. It has to go away. That's tough. I know it's tough. It was tough for Gideon too. He was scared to death. They knew he wanted to. They wanted to kill him, and so he did it at night. And the next morning they got up and they sought to kill him, but somehow he was preserved. And I'll go back to what I said about Lord of the Rings, the little hobbits. Little hobbits are just little hobbits. They're just cute little guys, and they're hobnobbing around, and they don't know what's going on. They're trying to have a nice life. And there's all these other forces around them. There's the orcs and the elves. The orcs are the evil. The elves are the good, representing demonic forces and angelic forces. And but they couldn't do anything unless the hobbits did the right thing. The hobbits had to go forward first, and they had to make the decisions that they had to make. And when they made the right decisions, well, then there was angelic powers to back them up. And you and I have to do the right thing first. And we don't see the angelic forces behind it. We're not aware of them. We can't see them. All we see is what the devil's doing. But there are angelic forces standing by to render help at the appropriate time. But sometimes you and I have to step out and do the right thing first. Lord of the Rings is a great example of that. They couldn't have done it by themselves, but the angels weren't there to do the job for them. Another thing I mentioned this morning on my Gab account, you can go to gab.com/bloodandfaith or /cybertext. I guess you say it at blood and faith or at cybertext. And I said, when you wake up in the morning, think to yourself, what can I do to make the devil mad today? And then go do it. It might be an email. It might be a tweet. It might be a gab. It might be forwarding a podcast to somebody. Wake up in the morning and say, what can I do to make the devil mad today? And then do it. Too many people live their lives trying to keep the devil happy. Well, if I just keep my mouth shut, the devil won't be mad at me today. And they're right. They're absolutely right. If Jesus Christ had kept his mouth shut, the Jews wouldn't have murdered him. If Peter and Paul would have kept their mouth shut, the Jews wouldn't have come after them. If Stephen would have kept his mouth shut, he wouldn't have been murdered. Wouldn't have been the first martyr after Jesus Christ. Don't live your life that way. Don't be a coward. Wake up in the morning and say, what can I do today to really piss off the devil? And then go do it. Gideon had a plan. Well, Rebel leader number one had a plan. Rebel leader one had a plan. Gideon didn't really know the plan. He didn't know the plan until it was time to execute the plan. Everything was compartmentalized. Gideon had his plan. He said, oh, I'm going to go kill the Midianites. God said, no. First thing you're going to do, you're going to deal with those altars. So he did. Then Gideon said, okay, now I think I know what I'm going to do. But Rebel Leader 1 said, no, you don't know what you're going to do. What you're going to do, and when all these people rally to you for support, I want you to pare them down to a mere 300 people. And you're going to go, you're going to surround our camp, and you're going to make noise, and you're going to turn on the lights. Now, I'm not a military guy, but making noise and turning on lights does not sound to me like a military plan. But he routed the Midianites with that plan. And, you know, I'm in the same boat. You're in the same boat. If you're listening to this podcast, you're one of Gideon's guys too. All right? So let's make some noise and turn up the lights. Wake up in the morning and say, what can I do to really piss off the devil? And go do it. How do you make noise? You open your mouth and you speak. How do you turn on the lights? You open up your mouth and speak. Darkness comes when there's no light, okay? And the church has been afraid of the devil. So let's not tick off the devil, man. We don't want to piss off the devil. So let's not turn on any lights and let's not make too much noise. And it works out great. It works out great for the church, the slumbering church, that cannot offend and will not offend. And the church plays church and the devil's happy. Devil doesn't mess with the church. And the church goes off and does church things. And the world keeps going to hell. I've been alive for a long freaking time. And all we've done is go downhill, downhill, downhill in my lifetime. It's gotten worse and worse and worse. And the more church activity we have, and the more mega churches we have, and the more televangelists we have, and the more radio preachers we have, the worse it gets. The proof of the pudding is in the eating. And if the church was doing its job, it would be salty and it would be preserving society. As it is, we have our national rite, our natural national ritual, our national religious practice is sacrificing our firstborn children to Satan. And therefore, Satan has a great stronghold over this nation. And the church goes around. We tiptoe around it. We try to object to it. I'm not knocking the millions of people that are passionate and fervent and have spent their lifetimes pursuing this. But obviously, it hasn't been enough. And now we've gotten to the point where, in our public schools, we have institutionalized child abuse, sexual abuse. In our public school systems, K through 12, let alone college, we've institutionalized child sexual abuse in our K through 12 schools, and we are grooming these children for sexual slaughter as we advance the LGBTQ/satanic agenda. This is an agenda of Satan himself. This isn't my choice. You know, I want to do what I want to do. No, it's satanic. To molest children and to groom children for sexual slaughter. Jesus Christ was clear. You touch these kids? No. You don't touch these kids. It would be better if you tied a boulder around your neck and you jumped into the ocean. Don't you touch these children. Don't you dare touch these children. And I fear for those, I probably shouldn't fear for those that are advancing this cause. But man, you got something coming that you didn't know existed. And it is up to us as Christians to cry aloud and raise the warning. And thank God that's happening in many school districts as these soccer moms finally got mad, finally woke up, said, this is enough already. And they're teaching us to hate ourselves. They're teaching white people to hate themselves. How is this not demonic? How is it not demonic to teach children that they ought to hate themselves? You've got college professors telling white people that suicide is a good option to stop white supremacy. I'm telling you what, don't tell me this isn't demonic. It goes right back to Genesis 3, 14 and 15. The enmity between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. There's a deep, deep enmity there. Jesus Christ recognized it. Those of you think that somehow that an antichrist people are the servants of God, you got it wrong. You got it backwards. I don't care if your name is Pastor so-and-so, Pastor Megachurch TV Evangelist so-and-so. Jesus Christ made it very clear his position on the Jewish leadership and the Jewish religion. They are antichrist. They're the seed of the serpent. They're a brood of vipers. You serpents, you brood of vipers, Jesus Christ said to the Jews. And now we got half the church worshiping the Jews. Galatians was written for you. Hebrews was written to you. Revelation was written to you. The Gospels were written to you, church. Why are you backsliding? Why are you falling into this stuff? You've been warned against it. Jesus Christ warned you against falling into the traditions of the elders and their precepts that aren't based in Scripture. You want to know what the relationship is between Jesus Christ and the Jews? Go read the Gospel of St. John. Go read the last half of the 8th chapter of the Gospel according to St. John. And if you say, well, I'm just trying to be biblical, well, I would suggest to you that you go and get your mind and your thoughts aligned with the words of Jesus Christ, what Jesus Christ himself said repeatedly over and over and over in the Gospels and in the book of Revelation. and go through the book of Acts. Who was responsible for the blood of the saints and the martyrs and the witnesses to Jesus Christ? There's only one group of people. It's called the Jews. And you sit there and you worship them and call them God's chosen people? Nope. Go back. Go to bloodandfaith.com. Read what I've written. Go listen to some of my podcasts. You're way off. You're way off. And if you think it's a sin to be anti-Semitic, find me that scripture in the Bible. Find me that scripture in the Bible. It's not there. It's a concept created by Satan to protect his own children. That's all that is. And when you bow down to that, you bow down to Satan's law. And for those of you who want to reach the Jews for Jesus, why don't you go preach to them the same sermon that Peter preached to them, where he reminded them that they are responsible for the death and the murder of Jesus Christ. That's the sermon he preached to them. And guess what? Thousands and thousands of them got baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. They repented. They repented. He didn't pussyfoot around it and said, oh, you're God's chosen people. Would you just please come and accept, and we beg you to accept? No. He said, y'all killed the Christ. Y'all are the murderers of the Christ. You killed the righteous one. And the first two sermons, they repented by the thousands. And third sermon comes up. Stephen comes up, preaches basically the same sermon. And they plugged up their ears and they murdered him. So good luck. You know, I hope you have the bravery to say what you need to say, because they're going to hate you. But if you want to reach them, you can't pussyfoot around this stuff. You can't sit there and heal their wounds softly. Tell them they don't have a disease when they have a disease. Can't tell them they're God's chosen people when they're antichrist. Go read 1 John 2, 1 John 4. Go read 2 John. Learn what the antichrist is, and the antichrist spirit is those that reject Jesus Christ. Those that reject Jesus Christ as one with the Father. That's the antichrist spirit, and they would be about spreading that stuff. And then you say, well, you know, that was just the Pharisees. Who do you think the Pharisees become? The Pharisees become the rabbis of today. Do you really think these folks are for Jesus Christ? They hate him. And yet you bow down to him? You have more respect for the Jews than you do for Jesus Christ and his words? I don't know why I'm on this topic again. I guess somebody needs to hear it. Somebody said, I get tired of hearing that. Well, maybe you need to hear it. We're going to talk about this. Long as this is what's put in my heart, you're going to hear it. Because I can tell you it's in the Bible. And preachers and pastors won't talk about it because they're afraid. They're afraid of offending Satan. They're afraid of offending the devil. Instead of waking up in the morning and say, what can I do to offend the devil? What can I do to fundamentally tick off Satan? They wake up in the morning and say, what can I do to not offend anybody? What can I do to stay on the safe side? What can I do to not raise my head above the berm so nobody takes a shot at me? And unfortunately, that's where the church goes. And I've talked to I don't know how many good men. I mean, they're as good as I am, but their whole theory in life is I need to keep my head down. Keep my head down, be the gray man. Well, there goes the nation. That's why the nation is in the condition it is today, because men, not women, men. This is to the men. Men have been coward. Men have kept their heads down. Men have said, I don't want to get involved. And now they're going to do bad things to your little boy and to your little girls. And you know exactly what happens when you bring in a bunch of, I'll stop right there. But you know exactly what's going to happen when you bring in all these Afghani refugees and send them to public schools. You know exactly what's going to happen to your daughters. If you don't, go read what happened in Sweden and England and how they groomed your daughters for the same sort of sexual slaughter. It's not enough that the public schools was institutionalize it and teach it. Now they're going to bring in Muslim men who believe it's the right to rape your daughters openly. Well, I don't know about that. Well, open up your eyes. You're not going to find it from the cult leaders. Cult leaders aren't going to tell you because they're promoting this stuff. You're going to have to find an alternate source to your CNN and your Rachel Maddows and your homosexuals speaking for Fox News. Yeah, I'm going there. I am going there. So time's a-wasting. Time's a-wasting. Now's not the time to shut up and hope the devil stops bothering you. If the devil's bothering you, good job. Good job, man. Kudos to you. I got respect for you. if the devil's not bothering you and you got your mouth shut, I don't have any respect for you. None. Zero. Open up your mouth. Go look at the disciples of Jesus Christ. What was their great offense? Their great offense was that they opened up their mouth and they spoke the truth. And the devil was outraged. And the devil's children were outraraged. The seed of the serpent were outraged. Those brood of vipers were outraged. How do you know if the devil if the devil's mad at you? Well, his children will get mad at you. That's how you know. Who are the children of the devil? Well, it's the people producing the fruit of the devil. Unrighteousness. All manner of unrighteousness, including the rejection of Jesus Christ, which is the Antichrist spirit. Y'all are wondering when the Antichrist is going to show up. John's very clear. Hey, there are many Antichrists here now already. And y'all are looking in the sky. Where's the big Antichrist coming? Where's the 666? Antichrists are all around you, and you don't want to offend them. Devil's a pretty tricky guy. He's done a couple real headwingers on us. One, he's convinced most of Christendom that he doesn't exist. And he does. And we sacrifice children to him on a daily basis by the tens of thousands as human sacrifice to him. And two, he's convinced the church to worship his children and not stick up for the children of God. Imagine that. Imagine that. Imagine Satan comes along. First of all, he says, A, I don't exist. B, you're going to still sacrifice your firstborn to me. And C, I'm going to teach you how to worship my own children. The seed of the serpent goes all the way back to Genesis 3, verse 14 and 15. And Jesus Christ was right there with it. You brood of vipers, you serpents, Jesus Christ said to the Jews. And to this day, they reject Jesus Christ. Now, I would love for them to repent and be converted. I would think that would be fabulous. But they will not do that, Christian, unless you open up your mouth and preach and tell them the truth, exactly what Peter told them. You want to reach them? You need to open up your mouth and say what Jesus Christ said to the Jews. John 8, 44, Revelation 2, 9, Revelation 3, 9. Go read Paul's and go read Peter's sermon to the Jews. Acts 1, Acts 2. Go read Stephen's sermon to the Jews. Acts 7. Y'all think you can invent some new deal. And you just go back to the words of Jesus Christ and the words of his apostles, and maybe you'll reach them. But you're not going to do it by some new way that because you're so smart and you're smarter than Jesus Christ. You think you're so smart. Well, let's just be ashamed of the words of Jesus Christ, pretend he didn't say them, gloss over that, and make up a whole new religion and bow down and worship the Jews. Oh, boy. And that's where we are. That's got to change. It has to be inverted. You worship Jesus Christ. You honor his words. You don't walk away from his words. You do not walk away from the words of Jesus Christ. You do not be ashamed of the words of Jesus Christ. You better stick up for what he said, every single word of it. And if the devil hates you, and if his children hate you, well, then you're on the right side of history. You're on the right side of God Almighty. You're on the right side of the righteousness of God, where you and I belong. Who is this Jesus Christ? Too many Christians have gone down the road of seeing Jesus Christ as the meek little dude on a cross. He's a good teacher. He's really kind. He likes people. And he healed the sick, we think. He sort of did. At least he prayed for them. And he died on a cross for our sins. Oh, isn't that so nice? Isn't that so nice? And they've reduced him to a mere religious little icon. They'd come over and they pet him every once in a while and said, oh, there's the poor Jesus. Poor little Jesus. Yeah, he's so nice. Let me get a little comfort out of him and maybe light a candle for him or his mom or you know, whatever it is you do. And Jesus Christ is literally the Son of Almighty God. He's literally the Son of Almighty God. And Jesus Christ is literally the creator of the universe. And even at this very moment, he holds all things together by the word of his power. Jesus Christ is not your little religious figure. He's not a religious figure. He's the creator of the universe, and he's the Son of Almighty God. He's the creator of all, and he's the heir of all things, and he rules the nations. He will rule them with a rod of iron. You reduce him to a religious figure at your own peril. You reduce him as a role model, as a nice guy, a guy that loved everybody. You do that at your own peril. You've reduced him to nothingness. Go read Hebrews chapter 1. This is a trend that it's like pushing against gravity, but it has to be resisted. Jesus Christ warned about this when he says, beware the leaven of the Pharisees, their traditions. And the church gets sucked down into the traditions. Let's reduce the word of God to some traditions so we can control it, so that the seed of the serpent isn't mad at us, so the devil doesn't hassle us, and we can have our little thing and live our little lives and have this little religious thing that we're doing. And oh, isn't it nice to know that when we die, we go to heaven, and you have no idea who Jesus Christ is. He's literally the creator of the universe, and he's the Son of God. He incarnated 2,000 years ago. He walked on the earth. People say, if God is real, why doesn't he show up? He did. Jesus Christ did show up. He walked on the earth. He touched people. He healed people. He rose from the dead. He brought forth Lazarus from the grave after he was dead for 4 days and he stank. He did show up, and people still didn't believe. God is not a person that he has to prove himself to you. But he will come again. He's coming again, and he will rule the nations with a rod of iron. And he is the one whom God has appointed to judge the heavens and the earth. Every knee will bow, every tongue will confess to the glory of God the Father that Jesus Christ is Lord. That Jesus Christ is Lord. I don't care if you're Muslim. I don't care. I don't care if you say, well, I'm a Jew, I'm God's chosen people. No, you're not. If you're a Jew and your identity is being a Jew, your identity needs to be, you know what, I repent of that. And I will bow the knee to Jesus Christ and publicly declare him as Lord, as God Almighty, as the Son of God, as the heir of all things, as God in the flesh. That's got to be primary. And after that, if you say, hey, my ancestors were such and such, fine, whatever. But if you base your identity upon a rejection of Jesus Christ, man, you chose the wrong side. You need to repent of that and forsake that and wash that nonsense off of you and identify in Jesus Christ. We are one in Jesus Christ. You don't want to know who the promised people are? You want to know who the chosen people of God are? Those that are in Jesus Christ. Outside of Jesus Christ, there's no salvation. Those who reject Jesus Christ have no salvation. I don't care if you're the moon people. I don't care if you're a Muslim. I know a lot of very wonderful Muslim people that I really like, I respect, worked with them, lived in their countries, more than one. Many of them are better people than these, well, I'll just stop right there. But they love their families, love their kids. That's one big difference I saw when I was living in a certain Middle Eastern country. Man, they love their kids. They're very proud of their children. And they're very family-oriented. And in ways that, it should be emulated. It's a wonderful thing. But outside of Jesus Christ, there is no salvation. There is one name that has been given among men under heaven by which we can be saved, and that is the name of Jesus Christ. That's it. There is no other name. There is salvation in no one else. Muhammad was a false prophet. He's a servant of the devil. So are all your rabbis out there, if they're leading people away from Jesus Christ. So are any so-called Christian leaders that poo-poo Jesus Christ is just sort of this guy. And there's Christian ministers out there. There's, oh yeah, Jesus, you know, Jesus was a good teacher. Jesus was a good leader. He was a good mentor. You know, he cared for people. Yet they deny that he is literally the Son of God and that he was born of a virgin. The conception of Jesus Christ happened because the Holy Spirit of God caused the conception of Jesus Christ inside a virgin woman. And that virgin woman did not pass on the sin nature to Jesus Christ because she's a woman and she's not primary. And the blood line does not flow through the female. It flows through the male. The male is primary. The male is the head. Always has been, always will be. And this is the beautiful thing for the woman. This is a beautiful thing for the woman. Without the woman, the Redeemer could not have been born of a woman. It would have been gone. But God Almighty said, you know what? I got you, Adam. I got you. I see the end from the beginning. And before the fall happened, he extracted a female from Adam. He extracted a female from the Adam. And he said, woman, your job is to help him. Okay? But he's primary. And so when the fall happened, even though it was Eve that was deceived by the devil, it's still the male that passes on the sin nature, because the male is primary, and it is through the male that identity is formed, and through the male the bloodline comes down. Through the male is the inheritance and the descendancy. And that is why Jesus Christ is literally the Son of God. The male was the Holy Spirit that caused the conception inside of Mary. In purity, in holiness, without passing on a sin nature, because there was no son of Adam that was the male that caused the conception of Jesus Christ in Mary. It was the Holy Spirit himself, not her. And Mary, as a virgin woman, did not pass on the sin nature. Now, man and a woman come together physically, they become one flesh, and the child is conceived in sin, and he's born into iniquity. The only way out of that is the rebirth, to be born again of Jesus Christ, the sinless one. And so when we say you must be born again, you're born again of the seed of the Word of God. You're born again of Jesus Christ, who was sinless. And we get a new bloodline that comes out of Jesus Christ, as pure and holy as can be, without sin. And so we are saved, because we are redeemed out of that cursed bloodline that was born into sin. And that's the only way. Salvation isn't because you did more good things than bad things. It's based on blood. Salvation is based on blood. All right, I'm going to close up with this. I want the Ten Commandments on every schoolhouse wall. Wherever Christendom would be, past, present, or future, I want the Ten Commandments on every schoolhouse wall. I will never forget, as long as I live, when I was in probably second grade, maybe third grade, I looked up, and this was, you know, it was passed when the Supreme Court said they were illegal. It were still up there. God bless those teachers and the principal. And the Ten Commandments were on the wall of my second or third grade class. And I asked the teacher, what are those? And they said, those are the Ten Commandments of God. And I was awestruck. Here it is, half a century later, and I still remember that. Still has made an impression upon me. And when you put the Word of God before the eyes of children, it goes inside of them and changes them. And something fundamentally changes inside of them. Instead, you take these little innocent kids and you put this garbage in front of them. This critical race theory and the LGBTQ garbage, and you destroy their innocent souls. You destroy them. And you take these innocent young children, they're like sponges sucking everything up, and you put Satan's message in front of them, and they suck it up, and you destroy them. I want the Ten Commandments back on the wall of every schoolhouse in America. Those words being put in front of them alone will change those children right there. I'm going to read to you the first commandment. I am the Lord thy God. Thou shalt have no other gods but me. Who's that talking about? It's talking about Jesus Christ. Make no mistake about this. This isn't Allah. This isn't Buddha. This isn't whatever devil the Jews worship today. I am the Lord thy God. Thou shalt have no other gods but me. That's about Jesus Christ. That's about Jesus Christ. He's the creator. He is God. And when Moses was out in the wilderness, who do you think followed the Hebrews? Who do you think cast the light upon them and was the power in the cloud? It was Jesus Christ. Who's the captain of the Lord's host? Jesus Christ. Moses was faithful as a servant. Jesus Christ is faithful as the builder of the house. If you want to honor God, God the Father, you honor his son. You honor Jesus Christ. It's simple as like that. You will never go wrong if you honor Jesus Christ. That's why I believe in the Sunday Sabbath. I want to honor Jesus Christ. I honor Jesus Christ as the Son of God. Jesus Christ is the creator of the universe. Jesus Christ is the judge of mankind. Jesus Christ is the redeemer. If you want to honor the Father, honor Jesus Christ. Fritz Berggren, bloodandfaith.com, out.